Welcome to Monterey Bay This Week from KAZU News. It's Saturday, May 2nd. I'm Elena Neal Sachs. The Farm Food and National Security Act of 2026, also known as the Farm Bill, has cleared the House of Representatives. Although aspects of the bill received bipartisan support, it was mostly a party-line vote on Thursday. Here's Central Coast Democratic Congressman Jimmy Panetta in a voice message to KAZU.
Even though Democrats offered a number of amendments to the Farm Bill that would provide billions for specialty crop assistance that would go directly to our local producers, those amendments were all rejected by the Republican Party.
Panetta was among the 197 Democrats and three Republicans who voted against the bill. In addition to its lack of support for fruit and vegetable producers, he cited the continuation of food assistance cuts passed last year.
Unfortunately, this farm bill did very little to offset those dramatic cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
The bill does include a program that would expand local market access for small and mid-sized farms, effectively reviving a program the Trump administration ended. But there's no mandatory funding for it. The farm bill now heads to the Senate. In other farming news, a judge has ruled the U.S. Department of Agriculture did not have the right to cancel a local research grant last April. The decision this week came after Cal State Monterey Bay researchers appealed the termination.
The outcome being argued was that our grant be reinstated or that we be compensated for our losses.
That's Stephanie Cortman, one of the researchers. She and her colleagues received the $5 million USDA grant in 2023. It allowed them to measure the benefits of sustainable ag practices on a research plot and to pay 25 local farmers to try them. When the Trump administration canceled the grant, funding for those farmers dried up. Cortman says she and her colleagues scrambled and were able to continue the research part of the project.
We've actually shoestringed along a very creative assemblage of other funding sources,
including a state grant that's allowed them to keep measuring the effects of climate-friendly ag practices on crop yields.
We are now at the point of data collection that exceeds any other effort I've been involved with.
Still, the ruling this week could be a big deal.
If the money did get reinstated from the USDA, then that would allow us to continue this without having to look for other funding constantly.
But the USDA can request a review of the judge's ruling, so it's still not clear if or when the grant will be reinstated. The Marina Coast Water District is reactivating a 30-year-old desalination plant. KAZU's Ngozi Cole has more on that.
This will help boost water supply. Remley Scherzinger is with the Marina Coast Water District.
We need to diversify our water portfolio so that we can rely less on the groundwater basin and we can help it become more sustainable.
The plant is expected to serve roughly 1,000 homes along the Monterey Peninsula. The project is in its first phase, which involves preparing an existing intake well at the Marina State Beach.
We're going to pipe it all the way back up to the plant, and then we're going to re-inject the water into the dunes.
The $13 million project will provide an additional 300 acre feet of water and is expected to be operational by the end of this year.
That was Ngozi Cole. KAZU's Aaron Malsbury reported this week that new research from UC Santa Cruz shows climate change is a greater threat to California's native trees than previously thought.
The study estimates in the next 30 years, some species may lose as much as half of their habitat. Lead author Blair McLaughlin says rising temperatures and droughts increase water stress.
It can also lead to higher vulnerability to pests and disease, and it can also lead to more frequent and severe wildfires.
In some places, this could create what's called zombie forests, where hardier adult trees remain but can't produce seedlings. Joshua trees, certain oaks, and madrones are a few of the vulnerable species. McLaughlin said maintaining groundwater levels and careful planning can help prevent loss.
Make sure that we aren't putting new developments in the limited areas that are likely to support these threatened species into the future.
She adds addressing climate change and supporting ecosystem stewards like indigenous tribes and ranching communities is vital.
Friday marked International Workers' Day, also known as May Day. Several events occurred across the Monterey Bay area in support of worker and immigrant rights. There were rallies and protests in Seaside, Watsonville, Santa Cruz, and Hollister, among other places. Lastly, we have a bit of battery storage news out of San Benito County. Here's KAZU's Katie Brown.
The San Benito County Board of Supervisors has voted unanimously to adopt a new temporary moratorium on battery energy storage systems in unincorporated areas. The urgency ordinance passed on Tuesday cited public health and safety concerns. It extends a 45-day moratorium approved on March 10th for another 45 days. The county says they've used the moratorium to update parts of their countywide safety plans related to evacuations, emergency response, and hazardous materials.
Following the Moss Landing battery fire last January, all three counties in the Monterey Bay area have been working to bolster their safety plans in anticipation of future battery energy storage systems. And that's a wrap. This episode was produced by me, Elena Neal Sachs. It was reported by me, Ngozi Cole, Aaron Malsbury, and Katie Brown. Amy Mayer is our editor and news director. Thanks for listening to Monterey Bay This Week. We'll be back next week with more local news.